Can't see it there, but that light, but we're going to talk to our audience anyway. Open our Bible, please, to First Book of Samuel, chapter 18. First Book of Samuel, chapter 18, and reading from verse 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that as David finished his conversation with Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousand, and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed 1,000. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hands as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter, Merah, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistine be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law of the king, to the king? And came to pass, at the time when Merah, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Meholathite to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king has delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Let's drop down the chapter, please, to verse 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. And may the Lord bless the reading of this portion of his word to our hearts this afternoon. Now, we've been reminded yesterday that there are a great number of young Christians in this gathering today. And we thank God for young people. And we do have an interest that our brethren have been expressing to see the young Christians go on for God, because we're made to realize that those of us who are older, if the Lord be not come, or if the Lord does come, but if the Lord be not come, we're not here in this world much longer to be of any help to the people of God. The assemblies of God is going to go on for God, the testimony in this world. It'll be those of you who are younger among God's people today that will have to keep that torch of light burning as a testimony for our Lord. Now, we've read a chapter here concerning David. Now, we know that David is a beautiful type of our blessed Lord Jesus. David was God's anointed king long before he was ever seen in the camp of Israel. And long before our blessed Savior, Lord Jesus, left his father's home in heaven and came into this world, the land of Israel, to God's earthly people, the Lord Jesus Christ was the anointed king of God's earthly people, Israel. So David is a type of the Lord Jesus in this respect. But then we see that Israel was oppressed by a mighty enemy. The Philistine nation had caused them grief and sorrow. And David was sent by his father to his brethren as they were in a troublesome condition in the land. A beautiful type of a blessed Savior when he came from the Father's home, sent by God. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. But when David came to his brethren in the camp of Israel, faced with the enemy, the Philistines, we know that his brethren did not receive him kindly. And David had to say to his brethren, "Is there not a cause?" David could not understand why his brethren rejected him when he came there, sent by the Father. So he said, "Is there not a cause?" We read that the nation of Israel hated the Lord Jesus, and they hated him as well without a cause. But in spite of the fact that David was rejected by his brethren, we know he went down into the valley and he met the enemy or the people of God in battle. He brought that giant Goliath down. He brought a victory to the nation of Israel. He brought deliverance. Our blessed Savior, in spite of the fact that when he came unto his own received him not. He did not go back to heaven until he won a victory, which has set you and I, the people of God, free, delivered us from our enemy Satan. When David came back from that battle, we know that there was a young man there who looked upon him that day, and his heart was one, as we were hearing yesterday, to this young man David, and this young man was a prince of Israel, was Jonathan. So we who are saved here today, we're here because we do appreciate, thank God in some little measure, what our blessed Savior has done for us. He came from the Father's home. He went to dark Calvary's hill. He engaged in battle that enemy that would have held you and I captive eternally, and our soul would have been in hell fire with him forever if a Savior had not come. We love him today, our blessed Savior, because he first loved us and gave himself for us. But I'd like to, this afternoon, go now as to David, not as a type of the Lord Jesus, But look at David as a young man in a world, and he's living as a testimony for God. And the result of David's wise behavior, which we read four times in this chapter, and why David behaved himself wisely. Now, first of all, we notice, we said before, that David was anointed by God before he ever went down there to the camp of Israel and engaged himself in battle with that enemy. He was God's anointed king. So the one reason, the first reason probably that David behaved himself so wisely was that he knew that God had selected him. God had anointed him. And God had anointed him for a purpose. And that was to do a work for God. You know, every one of us who is saved here this afternoon, we're not saved just to escape the flames of hell and the lake of fire. You know, I believe there are some Christians that's about all as much as they appreciate the purpose of God ever coming in and delivering us, saving us. He saved us from hell. Thank God he did that. He saved us from a lost eternity. But God saved us for the purpose of conforming you and I into the likeness of the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And while we're here in this world, that we might do a work for himself. That's why we're here. If God had only saved us to save us from hell, from judgment, the very moment we accepted Christ our Savior, we're sealed by the Spirit of God. The Lord would have taken us home to heaven, out of the sinful world in which you're living today. But God has left us here to do a work for himself. As God, that day when he called David, watching and caring for his father's sheep in the wilderness, and anointed David that day, God anointed David, that he might do a work for himself. So we read that David behaved himself wisely because he knew he belonged to the God of heaven. And God had a work for him to do. David's work was different than the work of others of God's people in the land of Israel. Every one of us in this gathering tonight or this afternoon who belongs to the Lord Jesus, young or old, we have a work to do for God. How can we find out what that work is? If we do not have an exercise before God, what the Lord would have us to do, we'll never know the work that the Lord has cut out for you and I to do. But if we get down before God, say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? As Saul of Tarsus said that day on the Damascus Road, was Saul of Tarsus left in dark? As to God's purpose in saving him, delivering him, meeting him on the Damascus Road? No. The Lord had a way of conveying to Saul of Tarsus God's purpose in saving him. So you and I today, we belong to God. Our God has saved us for a purpose. He committed into our care, into our hand, a work to do for himself. David behaved himself wisely because he knew his enemies were watching him. David had enemies. You and I, the people of God, we have enemies today. There are many people in the world that never read their Bible, would never sit down and open up the Word of God and read the passages from Holy Writ that could instruct them and guide them in the way of truth. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, today. Whether young, going to school, or older, working in the office, or wherever we may be, the world is watching us. The enemies of God, the enemies of the Lord Jesus, they're watching you and I, the people of God. And the only Bible some of them will ever read is the lies of us, the people of God, the Christians in the world today. We're here, the Lord Jesus said, to be a light in the world. We're here to be the salt of the earth. were here to reflect the glories of the person of our blessed Savior, Lord Jesus. We're here, as it were, to preserve this world by our lives from going into corruption. That's what salt does. It's a preservative. And as well, it creates the thirst. We know that if we eat a salty meal, the first thing we want after that meal is we want a glass of water. It creates thirst. Many dear unsaved people in the world have been brought to know the Savior because the lives of the people of God has created a thirst and a longing in their soul to know the Savior that we have come to know. So David behaved himself wisely because he knew he was anointed by God. He belonged to God. And the Lord placed into his hand a work to do, which none other could do. And he knew that his enemies were watching him. Then we notice that the result of David's wise behavior was a result, the outcome of David's wise behavior. We read, first of all, that he gained the respect and the love of the people of God. Are we an encouragement to God's people? You know, sometimes Christians can be a grief to the people of God. Children in the family oftentimes grieve their parents. I heard a mother just a short time ago say to her daughter when she was going out, "Now don't do anything today that will make me ashamed." You know, I never heard that before from a parent. But I sat there and I heard those words. And I said to myself, that mother knows what she's doing. When that daughter stepped out through that door, mother said, "Don't do anything that I'd be ashamed of." That's how that daughter would remember the words of her mother. So we, the people of God, if we're going to hold the respect, the confidence of God's people, as David did, it will be because of our wise behavior, our behavior of the Christian, one who professed the name of the Lord Jesus, I claim to be a member of the family of God. David behaved himself wisely. He gained the respect of the people of God. But then we notice that by his wise behavior, his enemies were afraid of him. How did the ungodly feel when we're in our presence? Do they feel at home, comfortable? Those young men and young women and older ones, when they come into our presence, how do they feel? Right at home. If they do, there's something wrong. We're not letting our light shine, we should. We're not behaving as we should as a Christian. If the unconverted, the ungodly, feels comfortable in our presence. David's enemies were afraid of him. Why? Because he was a dangerous young man? No. But because of wise behavior. It was so different. His life then, his enemy's life. So by our wise behavior as a child of God, the unconverted will be afraid of us. We won't have much problem in our association as we move among them if we behave as a Christian. You know, when a Christian is dragged away by an unconverted person, a young woman maybe by an unconverted man, a young man by an unconverted woman, and led away maybe to the altar, to the marriage altar. Do you know what happened? At their first meeting, there was something wrong with the behavior of that Christian. People in business, whatever it might be, if we're dragged away toward the world, it's because of our behavior as a Christian in our association with them. David behaved himself wisely, and his enemies were afraid of him, the Bible says. But then we notice the Lord blessed and prospered him. When David went out to battle, did he come back defeated? No. He went out with a blessing of God, and God prospered every movement that this young man made in the camp of Israel. Would we like God to bless us and prosper us in our lives, the little time we're here in this world? I'm sure we would love to have God to bless and prosper us. And I believe He'll prosper us in our business life, whatever phase of our life, our marriage, family life. If we behave as God would have us to behave, as a child of God in this world. The Lord blessed and prospered David because of his wise behavior. When did David behave himself wisely? You say he had no problem. Everything was going for him. Is that so? David behaved himself wisely in the light of success. You know, there are many Christians today have gotten away from the Lord out there in the world. And you know why they're there? Because God prospered them in their business life. I could name some by name today, but I'm not going to. That once were men and women for God. They're no longer a help to the people of God. They're no longer a testimony for God in the world. Why? Because their business was blessed by God, and I believe by God. But in light of success, they got away from God. They're no longer a help to the people of God and testimony to the unconverted roundabout. David went out to battle. He never came back without victory. Every time David led the armies of Saul, Israel, out to battle, there was victory. But in light of that, David behaved himself wisely in the light of success. There are young people here today, many. You're going to high school, you're going to college. You're going into some profession. May the Lord bless you and prosper you. But do not allow success, which God will allow come into your life, to hinder you in your progress as a Christian in this world. David behaved himself wisely in the light of flattery. When he came back from those successes in battle, the women of Israel came out to meet the returning army. What did they do? They said, "Saul has slain a thousand. David has slain a ten of thousands." A young captain in the army of the king, receiving more glory than the king of the country. It's enough to turn the head of any young man. Flattery. It's a terrible thing. He that flatters his neighbor, the proverb says, sets a net for his feet. How did it affect David? He behaved himself wisely in spite of flattery. Human nature, Mr. Harris, the late Mr. Harris used to say, oftentimes is something that human nature cannot take, and that is flattery. It works in our pride. You know, I appreciate encouragement from God's people. If someone says to me, "I enjoyed that word of ministry or the message of the gospel," it's all right.
But this going overboard with flattery is a terrible thing. It's no help to anyone of the Lord's servants, giving them a bigger place than the others of God's dear people. I have no time for it. When the dinner call comes, I believe in getting in the line up and going to the dinner in the process of moving in. I have no more right to be there in the front or in the back. David, he was flattered, but he behaved himself wisely in light of flattery. David behaved himself wisely in the light of danger. He came into the presence of Saul. Saul took those javelins. He was going to smite David. David, he stepped aside. The javelin went into the wall behind him. David knew he was in danger. But how did he behave himself? He behaved himself wisely in light of danger. We're living in a dangerous world. Enemies round about us in this world today. Men and women out there, Satan has ready to set a trap for young people. How are we going to behave ourselves in light of those dangers? David behaved himself wisely in the light of danger. So we notice that David behaved himself wisely in light of injustice. And I believe that this was likely the hardest thing for David to take. Success, yes. Flattery, yes. Danger, yes. David comes forth behaving himself wisely. But now he's dealt with unjustly. Saul had promised to him his daughter to be his wife. The wedding day is approaching. How do you feel, young man? Young woman? See that one you loved taken and given to someone else. In Israel, the parents could do that. Not so in this, our society. In spite of injustice, David behaved himself wisely. We're living in a very unkind world, and sometimes God's people can be unkind. And I made a realize, and I say it kindly, that there are young Christians today out in the world. They're out there because they have been dealt with unjustly by other Christians. Should we turn our back on our blessed Savior, the place where He has chosen the place of His name, because of some unkindness that has been shown to us? No. David behaved himself wisely in light of injustice. What's the secret? When we read the book of Psalms, there are at least 73 psalms in that wonderful book of 150 psalms that was written by this young man in his younger days, his older days. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. When we read those psalms of David, we find in some little measure the secret of his wide behavior, his success as a child of God. He spent time in communion and fellowship with heaven, with his God. Young Christian here today, whatever you neglect in your life, do not neglect your Bible. Do not neglect time on your knees with God, communing with God, asking God to give you the grace, the strength, the help, the wisdom to behave wisely as a child of God
in that wicked world in which we're living today. May the Lord bless the few thoughts and encourage the hearts of those who are young, that we too, the Lord called us home, might be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves.